Welcome to the Woadsman Podcast, catching up with all things bushcraft, wild camping, and the great outdoors.
The Woadsman Podcast is proud to bring you a unique opportunity from the State Detective, whose mission is to source and offer their followers some of the best beef products on the market. With a passion for steak and World War II military history, the State Detective combines a love for a period in history that integrity, honesty, and patriotism were all embodied. The State Detective embraces these great attitudes, and together we're giving a gentle nod to those who served by offering you, the listener, a promotional code for the State Detective. Use the code WOADSMAN20 to receive 10% off of your order and also award 10% to help support The Bearded Fisherman, a UK-based charity helping those suffering with mental health issues. So whether you're in the market for beef jerky, biltong, incredible sauces, ration packs, tanks, warships, or flyboys, and also love bushcraft, cooking, hunting, or fishing, check out the State Detective. It's terribly British.
Liam?
It's not really you, dude.
How are you, bro?
Oh, dude, it's so nice to hear your voice. It's been so long.
Way too long. Oh, so hey, guys, welcome to the Woadsman Podcast. Yeah. I haven't spoken to you in ages.
Yeah, it feels like an absolute, like, year has passed since we did any recording. Yeah. So our apologies to our listeners for that, and thank you for staying with us. We've just been super busy, haven't we?
it's just been one of those real all systems go kind of periods, both respectively. I know I've been absolutely busy with work, loads of little mini trips, just doing personal stuff as well. I've had a lot go on, and I know you have too, so it's good to just catch up and be able to chew the fat with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, normally me and Liam ring each other every day, and just as a sort of indicator of how busy we've been, we've been lucky if we've got a call in once a week, haven't we?
Yeah, like, literally. It's been long.
It really has. And like, normally, like last year, we were meeting up every month for a camp, but we both got things going on that mean we can't do that as frequently this year, unfortunately. So it's like, I haven't got to hug Liam for so long.
Yeah, it's been too long. And, you know, your presence is definitely missed when I do get out. And like at the community camp that we just had, that was a lot of people asking about you. So Tom is doing very well. He's good and healthy. I'm looking at him right now, and he's
dead, everyone. No. Each of the people who have reached out and asked if I'm still alive, I do actually really appreciate people checking in on me. But they've been like, I haven't seen any pictures. Are you okay? And it's simply just because I've been so busy. I haven't been out to do any bushcraft, really. I've had a few things, which we'll talk about later, but I haven't filmed anything since the summer. Haven't been on any trips with Liam since the bushcraft show. We had a couple in the works, didn't we? And then they just didn't pan out, sadly, just because of our schedules. So it's not that we're dead, we're not ill, we're fine. It's just that life sometimes gets in the way.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, that's one of the nice things about the community. I mean, we're both quite active in that community when we have the time, and when things aren't just going mad for work, respectively, and personal life. And so your presence was definitely noticed when it was not there. You know, I love seeing your posts and pictures, and even likewise, I've had a few posts when I've had quiet patches. So it's been nice to see that community spirit there, even when you're not directly being involved, you know, posting stuff. So that's good.
Yeah, definitely. I'm at the point now where I need a bushcraft camp.
Oh yes.
I'm clawing up the walls. I'm getting cabin fever. It's
the outdoors is calling you, boy.
It certainly is. I can survive a little while without it, and then I just start like pining for the woods. Sorry for the pun there.
No, I feel you. Because you've had let's start off with you. You've had quite a big busy. Like I know we've said, we've both been busy. We've had quite an exciting, busy period as well, haven't you?
I have, yeah. Quite a few life events have happened. So we'll start off with a really, really good one. So yeah. I actually got engaged.
You did. Massive congratulations from me.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so I put a ring on it. Emma has been supportive and been like the most lovely partner for a very long time now. And we met at university, yeah. We're best friends. And finally I popped the question. So I sort of kept it completely secret and surprised her in Dublin.
You're Prince Charming, you.
Yeah, no, smooth, eh? You, no, guys, you should take note, you know. Copy my smoothness. I know how to woo a lady.
Well, it's definitely just such exciting news, man. Like, so happy for you. Because obviously you kind of mentioned before that you were thinking of popping the question, that just got me excited. So when you said it was affirmative, all systems go, and exciting to hear.
Yeah, so I let Liam in on this, on the surprise, and he was like, yeah, go on, lad, get in there. So he was very supportive the whole time. But yeah, she had no idea, and she just sort of laughed at me when I did it because she didn't believe I was actually telling the truth.
That's sort of amazing.
So I'm always winding her up. So she thought I was just taking the piss.
That's it.
But she finally realised that I was actually serious when I started to panic because I dropped the ring, and I didn't realise at first that the ring had been fallen out. So I opened the box.
Oh, so she was looking at an empty box.
Yes, yeah, she was just looking at an empty box and just thought I was taking the piss, but the ring had fallen out. When I noticed there was no ring in there, obviously I'd like put all my hard savings in that, and I was, where the hell is the ring gone?
That's the worst nightmare.
Because we travelled to Dublin on the plane, I thought that maybe it had been nicked from my luggage or something, and like I'd left it in the hotel overnight the night before, so I was like, has like someone gone into my stuff and found it and nicked it? So I like full on panic mode, and like this romantic moment suddenly was me like uttering expletives and panicking, and then Emma just calmly pointed to the ring on the floor, because we were actually in a park. We went to Phoenix Park in Dublin, which is one of the largest city parks in Europe. So I took her on a hike around Dublin, and we went to about 6 different parks. So we ended up walking absolute miles, and I wanted to do
it. You made her earn it.
I made her earn it. I wanted to do it under a tree or somewhere natural, because obviously I'm very outdoorsy. I love trees, and Emma as well. She's been brought up in the countryside. So I thought it was fitting that even though we were in a city, we'd do it in nature. So I found this beautiful large beech tree, and I proposed under it in Phoenix Park. But yeah, dropping the ring, that was a panic.
Every hair on your body was tingling.
I've done stuffed this up.
Well, I'm so glad you didn't lose the ring, and you because that would have been an awful turn of events. But I'm glad you two have. You're on the road to a happy future together. I'm so, so happy because Emma's just, like you said, a solid rock to you, and, you know, let you come out and play in the woods, which is, you know, I'm ever so grateful of. And
I think she's grateful of having you to offload me to be honest.
Oh, well, I'll take the burden anytime, buddy.
So what's been going on with you then, dude?
Really busy. I mean, obviously, since last time we saw each other, the Bushcraft Show, kind of driving off from each other. I carried on up to Scotland, so we overlanded in the truck because we had the rooftop tent and stuff on from the Bushcraft Show. And we stopped at a few campsites on our way up to Scotland. So we stopped in the north kind of Dales, just opposite the Lake District, really nice part of North Yorkshire, and then moved up to kind of the outer edges of Scotland, overlanded our way along the coastal route to Girvan, which is in Ayrshire. And that's actually where my mum was born, in Girvan.
Oh, wow.
So funnily enough, I'd won a competition from the Lucky Hunter, which is an online hunting competition. Yeah. I bought a raffle ticket. I think I only bought the one as well, for an all-inclusive roe deer stalk in Scotland. So I was just on a whim kind of thought, I'll buy a ticket.
That, bro. How much did you get this all-inclusive hunting package for?
I think it was like £7.99.
Bargain of the century.
That is. So I got the call like a few weeks before the Bushcraft show, hence why I had so much kit with me at the show. Mm. And they said, yeah, you're going up to Scotland on XYZ date, which happened to be a few days after the show. So it really tied in well. And yeah, we made it all the way up there in a few days. Had just a really nice relaxing drive up.
Nice. That's so good that Ellie was with you as well, because she was such a good laugh at the Bushcraft show. Like, I loved spending time with her as well.
She had such a good time, and it was just nice to get away, because with everything over the last few years, we haven't had many holidays or breaks, so that acted as a really good one.
Yeah, and you were away for a decent amount of time all in all, weren't you?
Yeah, I think it was about just under 2 weeks in all, because we did that little overland up from Peterborough where the Bushcraft show was. We went basically the whole length of England up into Scotland, and yeah, it was just gorgeous driving through all that
trip.
Yeah, that's it. It was real nice. Just every 5 minutes you want to stop, but you can't.
How was the overlanding rig? Did it perform as you wanted?
Yeah, it worked a dream. I mean, I put a few thousand miles on it, but it was, yeah, ran smoothly, which I was really happy about. After doing so much work, I mean, it only just recently passed its MOT, first time ever it's gone through with flying colours, so everything's paying off.
Because you were getting loads of looks, like people were walking past and looking at all like the rooftop tent and your awning, and you got loads of compliments on it, didn't you?
But yeah, it's a good feeling to get it to a place where it's actually almost finished.
Yeah, it's where you want it, isn't it? Which is good. And the wrap looks amazing as well.
That's it. It gives it that bit rough around the edges kind of feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah. It looks like a muscle car.
Yeah. And I will be releasing some content on my channel. I've piled up loads over the years. But I think the thing is, for me, especially while I'm doing that kind of work, I can't even approach the footage of it. After doing the head gasket, I mean, I did that twice in a year, and I could not bear the thought of then editing two videos of that. You know, doing that mentally four times in a year, that's
too much.
So that will be coming out sometime in the future. But it's nice to have kind of blended that into the channel, which is good. And hopefully you and me can do some overlanding trips.
Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, I'm trying to learn how to drive again now. So I'm definitely into learning from you as well, and learning a bit of the off-road stuff, because I do have an interest in cars. I just haven't driven for 7 years. So I've started driving again recently and practicing and that stuff. So hopefully I'll be driving again.
Yeah, I know Emma filmed a little video of driving the other day, doing your little kind of getting your miles in.
Yeah, it was good. I even did a bit down some green lanes in Somerset, off on some sort of mud tracks down some farm lanes and stuff, and that was pretty fun. So
yeah, definitely,
which is good.
It's all experience, boy. Because you've also not only become recently engaged, but another reason why it's been an extremely hectic period for you, you've also started a new job, which I guess is kind of pushed you to say, well, driving would be a good asset for like trips or stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I started my new job 2 days after I got engaged.
I remember how flat out you were, because for a few weeks there you were just going, weren't you?
Because obviously last year I took a year off. Not quite a year. I had about 8 months off, just to have some time to do outdoorsy stuff, set up my courses, do more stuff with Paul Curley and Frontier, and just get out of being in schools for a little while. But I did miss the school environment. So I started looking for work, and then obviously school jobs in your area, they don't come up all the time.
No.
So I went to a couple of interviews. I got a couple of offers, but they weren't for the right roles. So in between all the videos on my channel you've seen, I was actually going for job interviews like the day after I got back from trips and things like that. I finally actually got a job in a local school that's within walking distance, and it's a primary school. So previously I've done secondary. So I've taught everyone from year seven, so like 12 years of age, all the way up to sixth form.
Yeah.
And I've done things like interventions and prepping kids that need support for their GCSEs and things like that.
Nice.
But now I've transitioned to the primary school. So it's been a bit of an interesting transition, because obviously they're a lot younger, but it's quite funny because I'm mainly based in year six, and the year sixes are quite mature, so they're not that different from the year sevens that I'm used to teaching sort of history and.
Yeah, they kind of found themselves already and know that where their place is in the classroom.
Yeah, but that's not been very hard for me to adjust at all, and I'm very attached to my year six class now. We took them out to the war graves yesterday, because yesterday, as of recording, was Remembrance Day.
Remembrance Day, indeed. That was really nice when you told me that. I thought that was a really, really nice kind of privilege to do that with some young ones.
Yeah, it was really special. So we got them all writing remembrance poems. I wrote a remembrance poem. They all wrote remembrance poems.
Oh, nice.
We walked them down the road to the cemetery, and we found all the war graves that are in our cemetery from local soldiers, and we read our own remembrance poems by their graves. And it was just like a really special thing to do. It was really good to pay our respects to the dead.
And definitely
laid down their lives for our country. So yeah, really special. So the year sixes are sort of very similar to what I'm used to. So that's been great fun. I got to take them canoeing, which was brilliant. Got them all.
Yeah, boy. We did getting some bushcraft in on the payroll. I like that.
We did some Canadian canoes and some kayaks, and it was hilarious. They were all crashing into like other boats, and the boats were parked, don't worry. And they were all like, three of them tipped in, and we had to rescue them. But
that's a good experience. That shows them the reality of it.
Yeah, it was a great day out. It was really fun. But obviously, I'm in the primary school, you sort of have to be a bit of everything. So
yes,
sometimes I'm expected to go into the younger years. And I've gone from 18, 16, 15 year olds to having to sometimes teach 5 year olds. So
a different game together.
It's completely different. So I think my second day there, I had to cover a year one class. And they're
all you saying.
They're about five-year-olds, but there's 30 of them. And I've never, ever even really had much to do with a five-year-old before, because, like, why would you if you're a secondary school teacher?
Yeah.
And suddenly I found myself in front of 30 expectant faces waiting for me to teach them design and technology.
Oh, wow.
But they've just come up from reception. They're that little. So they don't really know how a classroom works at that age. And it's all sort of very chaotic. But I came in and I sat down. I sort of like smiled at them all and said hello and introduced myself. And I sat in the teacher's chair. And they're all sat on the carpet in front of me, all waiting for me to teach them. And the lady that normally teaches them is very slight and fits fine in the chair. But obviously, I'm a big outdoorsman. I sit down in this chair that has high sides, and I realize that I'm stuck inside the chair. And my big ass has just got myself wedged in this year one chair in front of 35-year-olds. So I'm like trying to talk to them about DT while I'm stuck in this chair. I had a cold cup of coffee from earlier, which I hadn't had a chance to put down because I'd just come from teaching year five. So I'd put that down next to me, and it was cold because I'd not had a chance to drink it all day. It's from the morning. So I put that down next to me. I had all these kids in front of me, and I'm trying to wiggle myself out of this chair that I'm stuck in because I've got a big fat bottom. And I decided I'm just going to stand up. The chair will drop off. It'll be fine. The chair didn't drop off, did it? So I'm sort of stuck with this chair on my ass, wiggling around with 30.
You know how to make it sure.
Because I've got a chair stuck to me. I'm sort of bent over double with this chair sticking out. The chair leg knocks the cold coffee over, spills coffee over the carpet.
Oh, no.
And then one of the year ones points at me and goes, "Funny man." At that point, I was like, right, this is different.
Oh, man. Well, to be honest, I think laughter is the way to win over any child. So you've probably got a very, you know, they've got fond memories of you already, I bet. I wish I was a kid in that classroom.
It has got better now. I've worked it out. But it was just the most comic Rowan Atkinson-like sketch.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't have made a funnier sketch. If someone had seen it, they would have just been rolling around on the floor laughing.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, work's been super busy. I've not stopped. And it means I'm limited now with holidays, because in a school you can't just take days off, because obviously we're lucky to get the school holidays. So it means that I'm a bit less flexible with the sort of days I can have off.
Absolutely. You've got quite limited resources in terms of time, haven't you? So it's careful planning and longer trips. You have to wait for certain periods of the year now.
Exactly. So the Christmas holidays, the summer holidays, I get really good time off there. So that's good. So I get a good amount of time off. It's just a bit less flexible because obviously I have lots of responsibilities with the kids. So.
Yeah, no, that works with me though, dude. We'll still get some stuff in. And when we do get some trips in, guys, as well, we'll obviously switch back to our more traditional Woadsman recording style, won't we? Yeah. By the fireside, we'll get a few recordings done on a trip so we can release them kind of, you know, every few weeks. I know it's been probably a month or two actually since we got an episode out, so we can only apologize on that behalf. But, you know, just been so busy. I've been doing a lot of hunting as well.
Yeah, so you were saying you drove up to Scotland for your Lucky Hunter challenge. Did you actually get a deer on that, Liam?
Yeah, I mean, I've finally released the final episode, so I can spoil it now, because if you haven't watched it, you can always go and watch it and see how it got on. Explicit warning, there was a bit of blood and gore on the last episode, just from where we do some butchery on a deer or two deer that I do actually get. So I managed to bag an incredible roe gold medal buck, which was the first roe I'd ever shot and really properly stalked. And then a cull buck afterwards. And, you know, to me, a medal is not just about a medal. I'm not a trophy hunter, as per se. Obviously, I will mount a skull or a trophy in that respect, but it's not out of sport. It's more out of a commendation of the quality of life that that deer had been able to achieve through the management of deer stalkers.
Like for you, I know it's like a memory of that animal.
Absolutely.
You will take the hide off of an animal. You won't waste anything. And then you'll use that hide when you're camping. And then it's got that animal with you. It sort of becomes like part of your kit. And I guess having the skull mounted will just be another sort of memoir for that animal.
Yeah, I can look at it and it brings me right back to that hillside. You know, when I use the hide. Most of my hides that I've got are the first animal of that species I've shot as well. So they're really special, sentimental things. And, you know, part of deer management for me is about using all the meat, which is why it was so incredible to be up in Scotland and see that whole process from Steve, Chris and Graham. You know, what they run up there is a it's a relatively small outfit, a little outfit, but they just have so much access to incredible land, incredible animals. They really know their stuff, and having that hands-on experience was invaluable, because I did my DSC1 with Chris, which is ironic, so I'd won the trip with the very person who I'd passed my qualification with.
That's brilliant.
In the hometown that my mother was born in. So
I think it was made to be, dude.
It was almost ironic, and it was just a great introduction to kind of that hunting lifestyle that I'm trying to encapsulate more in my life, I guess. Because after doing the DSC1, it's easy to then think, well, I've done that now, and now I've just got to go on a random trip here or there, and to do it up in Scotland and to have a few days doing it and really get into it was really nice. And I filled the freezer with some roe meat as well, which I'm saving a lot for camps. That's my camp meat.
Let's enjoy some of that when we next get a camp. That'd be amazing. Do like a stew and maybe cook up the back straps in butter. That'd be lush.
Oh yes, that'd be good. Because I mean, I'm actually, last week I went out and got a fallow deer. I filmed the video, so that will be coming out at some point in the future once I've got the big backlog done.
Yeah, got loads of videos on there.
Yeah.
And haven't you?
I do, yeah. It's too much, but we'll get there. Now this Scotland one is done, I mean, it'll be a lot easier, because that was a big undertaking. You know, one of my clips, there was one of my videos, it had like 1400 clips to go through, you know. Just insane. Just b-roll. But it was good. And I mean, the freezer's full. I've got some good quality hides that I'm working on, and it's just been really, really nice. That fallow, I'm actually making sausages today. I had some burgers yesterday, and it's been really, really tasty, good and fresh. It's nice to know where your meat comes from, and especially now with the environment being so expensive.
Yeah, it's really nice to know, like, that that animal's lived a good life. You've actually been the one to select it, so you know that the process of harvesting has been fair on the animal and all that stuff. So I really admire it, dude. I'd love to come on a hunt with you at some point.
Well, we were hoping, weren't we, to get out on that fallow stalk together, but because at the moment I haven't got my FAC, it means I have to go out with someone, and the high seat's only big enough for two people. So if me and Tom wanted to be in a high seat together, we wouldn't have an FAC holder, so then we'd just be up in a high seat together without a gun. So, which would be nice.
Yeah, there's always perfectly pleasant, but not very effective for getting us dinner.
Maybe with the slingshots, we'll get some squirrel. It's something we've got to do together, because I know you're keen. You're keen for hunting in the respect of how it links into bushcraft, aren't you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always been sort of into firearms from a sporting perspective. So I used to do a lot of target shooting when I was younger.
Yeah, you said.
And I love learning about different firearms and also watching other people hunt. But I've never actually hunted myself. When I'm older and I have enough sort of money to buy some land and that sort of thing, and I have somewhere to shoot, I want to be able to get my shotgun certificate and be able to shoot on land around, hopefully, where I live. But at the moment, I'm stuck in London. So
there's no place for it, is there, really?
There's not. And if I was to try and shoot a pigeon, I'd probably be in a lot of trouble. So and the pigeon would be full of junk.
Very true.
that sort of ties in actually with the other thing I've been doing is
it does.
Me and Emma's dream is to live on a small holding in the countryside. She's a country girl. I'm obviously, my heart's in the countryside and in woodland.
Good old boy.
So we're looking to move out to the countryside at some point. It's not going to be yet. It will be in the near future.
You've got to start the ball rolling somewhere though, haven't you? It's not a process you can just wake up one day and be like, all right, tomorrow we're going to the countryside.
No, exactly. So I ended up in Somerset last week looking at two plots of land and old barns that we could potentially restore. They weren't right, but that's fine. You're going to have to look at a lot before you find what really sings to you.
Absolutely.
And we've been saving up as well. So hopefully in the future, it might be a possibility.
I mean, it's a hard market at the moment. I mean, one good thing is it's not good for homeowners, but it's good for potential new buyers, as we're going into possibly a bit of a recession. So hopefully we'll see property starting to, the properties that we're looking at anyway, you know, derelict places, farmland, hopefully that starts to come down in price. I know me and Ellie are very similar. After coming back from Scotland, we were looking at a place up there, but that people were just putting in ridiculous offers for it. So it kind of out places you, if you know what I mean. You can't really so we'll see. I'm so glad that you two have got on that.
You stayed
somewhere, didn't you?
Yeah, we stayed at a place called Mellow View in a gardener's shed, and it was actually somewhere that's been on Grand Designs.
Like a tiny home kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So they've restored this old cow shed for their own home, and that story of that's all on Grand Designs if you're interested. But they've also, the bloke has built like a shed, really rustic, like a basically a gardener's shed, but it's been made into like a cozy cabin with a wood and a beautifully done.
It's like a small scale of Ranch Ramuda, isn't it? But polished.
It's like a polished Ranch Ramuda, but shrunk down even smaller. So literally, you have a bed, a shower, a cooker, a tiny table, and
simple living.
Look out, simple living. You look out over a valley, a wooded valley, beautiful views of an area of natural beauty. And then their small holding is all around the cabin. So you've got sheep, free range chickens, geese,
pigs.
And then the amazing like vegetable garden, like they've got, they've built raised beds and everything, and it's just, it's what me and Emma want. And it's sort of showed us that actually two young people with the same dream have been able to achieve that. And as a result, it spurred us on, because it showed us that actually it is possible, and some people do achieve their dreams. So
yeah, it's definitely possible. And what two better people to, you know, do it? I know Emma's got a very good, you know, eye for design, and she knows what looks right. And as do you, you know, with your spoon, your carving and that work, you've got that good eye for detail, and you've got the physical skills as well, the practical skills. I mean, you two aren't just pen pushers, you actually know how to walk the walk, which is good as well.
Funnily enough, at my new school, the caretaker is off at the moment, unwell, bless him. But as a result, there aren't many people who are particularly practical.
Oh, no.
And so I ended up doing all the handyman jobs last week.
Just, oh, good old boy.
Fixing like things up and that sort of thing. So
diversifying, I like that.
But yeah, you never know what's going to happen in the school. Every day is different. The Mellow View was a beautiful place to stay. And we just went on loads of lovely walks. We got to know Somerset, decided we really like it there. I mean, there's other places we're considering too. Emma's from Sussex, I'm from Surrey. And then there's all sorts of places that are beautiful. Wiltshire, Wales, Scotland, loads of places that are just gorgeous. I'm very attached to the Lake District. I think the Lake District is gorgeous. It's just
right opposite the Dales.
Yeah, it's just a little bit far from our families, and obviously we're family orientated. So with Lake District in Scotland, it might just be a step too far.
It's a hard one, isn't it, with that, because it's even though the world shrinks, it also, you know, things get more expensive to travel. So in that respect, it doesn't.
The problem is, as we get, like, we're young, and as we get older, so do our parents and our grandparents. Mm. And like, that's all a consideration. So it's like, it's hard for people of our age to actually buy somewhere. But at the same time, the longer it takes us to buy somewhere, the more limited in options of how far away from our families we can actually move, it becomes. So it's just, yeah, it's all stuff that we're thinking about, but it's another reason why, I've been a little bit quiet, because we've been pretty busy.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. It's good to be quiet because you're busy, if you know what I mean. It's a good quiet. So
hopefully you can hear in my voice that I'm like proper happy and enjoy.
Oh, you look happy as well, which is good. Yeah. It's good, likewise for even myself. And Ellie's been really busy actually doing her pottery. She's been flying along with that. I mean, we were at the community camp about 2 weeks ago now, which was really good. Unfortunately, you couldn't make it. Just mentioning Ranch Ramuda there kind of twigged it with me, and I thought we'd just quickly mention that. We had a really good event. There was, you know, over 100 people there this time. Load more stalls. Dustin from Bushcraft Tools came along. Great. Josh from Feared Woods came along. Really great. York Knife. We just had a good time. Unfortunately, I could only be there for the Saturday because I had a funeral for my uncle on the Friday. So I had to travel all the way up to Yorkshire, which was a real shame. That was my mum's last brother. So a real hit to the family. And for such an unexpected way for him to go, he just got him for breakfast. They knew he had some heart troubles, and he was booked in for some bypass work, but he came in for breakfast, said he didn't feel too well, and walked around the garden, came in and literally just slumped on the sofa, and that was it. He was gone.
Yeah,
so in some respects a nicer way for someone to go.
Just a real shock to everybody.
Yeah,
I remember when you text me, and I just felt so sorry for you and your family, because it's just really upsetting to lose anyone, especially someone like that who's been such a cornerstone of your family. So
yeah, and it was one of those things, you know, I just had to then take a little bit of a, not I had to, but I just felt I needed to take a little bit of a break from social media, keep doing, you know, little edits and filling in little bits of blank gaps where I've got editing, like small episodes I could put out to get it, tick it over, but you know, it's nice actually just to have had a break and get back to basics with myself a little bit.
Yeah, also just have that time with your family as well.
Yeah, I think that's what reset me actually, because we hadn't had that for a little while. So yeah, brought up, it was good.
Yeah, I'm glad.
It's just a shame to have had it force of hand through something that's like that.
But it's always like you can take the silver lining, but there is still the cloud that caused it, you know. So it's like,
yeah.
But at least you'll remember your uncle, and you got to be there with your family and give him a good send off and everything. So
yeah, it was an honour to carry the coffin, and you know, there was traditional like Morris dances there because he was really into that when he was in his younger years. Carried on actually. But it was nice to see that tradition still alive in the north of England, and then to sign it off, going down and seeing all the boys and girls down at the camp, and you know, there's slingshot camp competitions down at the ranch, and yeah, it was good, real, real nice.
Yeah, I was so gutted I couldn't go.
It just is what it is, isn't it? You know,
it's what it is. My brother's just moved to Thailand for a year, so he wanted to meet me in Italy for sort of a last minute. A little time with him, so
yeah, catch on the connecting flight and kind of
ended up we ended up going to Italy, and we went to Lake Como, and it was just gorgeous. I mean, I was teased by Emma because she was like, oh, that's very romantic with your brother going to Lake Como. But actually,
yeah, because that's where I thought you were going with when you said you were going, because you said, oh, I'm going to Italy. That's brilliant.
No, it's very funny actually, because we were only there for a couple of days. I went straight from work after work on Friday, caught a flight out, and then we stayed at an airport hotel on the Friday night, and then we travelled on the Saturday, and we did like five towns along the lake in one day.
Oh, nice.
But we got on this bus that was so over crammed, and there wasn't anything to hold on to. And it was just so funny because, first of all, there was like this young couple of girls I think they were like 20, but they were like falling all over the place. One of them nearly fell out the door.
Oh, no.
So we started like laughing and joking with them about that. But then one of them fell and headbutted me in the groin. And so it was like really awkward. But she she loudly proclaimed to her friend, I can't make eye contact now. I can't make eye contact now. My brother was then thrown forward because the guy in the bus obviously just delighted in making everyone fall over. So he slammed on his brakes for no reason. And my brother went flying forward, landed at basically mounting who had fallen over. And then they sort of like were like thrust together, and then the guy accelerated again, so it like pulled him back, and then he braked again, so it threw him back onto her.
Oh, and God.
Really appropriate. But she was just in fits of laughter. But then they sorted themselves out, and then loads more people crammed on the bus at the next stop. She reached down to get her bag, and instead of her bag, grabbed my brother's cock. But then it was so crammed she couldn't get her hand away, so he was like trying to not like look at this girl who had her hand in like the worst, like,
right.
And it was the funniest bus journey I've ever been on, because everyone was just falling onto everybody else and trying not to like look at the person that they'd awkwardly fallen onto.
The right party bus.
I wish I'd filmed it, because it was just absolutely...
You should have done a little travel vlog, that would have been... Back Garden Bushcraft goes viral on the bus.
Yeah. When we got off of the love bus...
When we got Lake Como love bus.
we ended up getting a ferry, but I'd lost the ferry ticket, so I had to then use... I crumpled up the bus ticket and had to pretend that that was the ticket for the ferry and just sort of wave it at the guy. I'd had a few beers, so I bumped into an Italian man and shouted, "Scusi!" and then we ended up traveling around Lake Como, which is absolutely beautiful, by the way. Like mountains, woods, like the lake itself is the most stunning place. Like,
oh yeah, that landscape photos you sent me were just, oh wow, breathtaking. And the weather looked amazing for you over there as well.
It really, really was. But yeah, so I ended up all of that was a complete aside. All the, I ended up in Lake Como was the story of that. So,
oh yeah, that's.
So I apologize.
I enjoyed that.
For not being at Ranch Remuda, it's just, yeah, life has been absolutely mental recently.
I'm just so glad it's been a good ride for you. And, you know, because it's always that time of anxiety, you know, with work. I know I've been in the same position, but for you to have a good, solid job now is really good. I mean, yeah. My work's going really well as well. I know you were asking after that earlier, and I've just been really, really busy with it. Just
flat out. Beautiful work there, haven't you? Because you sent me that fireplace that you did.
Yeah, we've been restoring a really nice project. I mean, the original property probably dates back to a medieval dwelling, and it's just been built on and built on and built on. So now there's a manor house, you know, kind of done in the 16 to 1700s. With then Edwardian additions on, there's little Victorian bits, Georgian arch. It's just gorgeous. I absolutely love it. And we did a full repoint, but we actually started in an inglenook fireplace. And an inglenook fireplace was an internal fireplace, much bigger than like a tiny little square, few square feet one. It's a big one that you could sit next to, have room to store logs. Quite a high opening, so you know you could cook under there, because originally that is where everyone would have been cooking on cranes and stuff. So really nice. Yeah, really nice to work on. I mean, some of these bricks were so old, so a lot of care taken. And that then progressed on to repointing the whole house, restoring some arches, which was really nice, because you know when you're taking apart some of these gauged arches, the last person who touched them were in the 1700s, yeah. You know, 1780s or something. Yeah.
Did you find clay pipes?
I didn't, but I found a coin, which was really nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, really, really nice. So I'll try and put a picture of that on Instagram, actually, once I've cleaned it up.
Yeah,
but we finished that off, and now we're working on another. It's funnily enough, similar to where you stayed. It's a carving barn. Brick construction at the bottom, all made out of handmade kind of wood-fired bricks. Mm. And it's got a timber frame on the top of it with really nice tiled roof. It's just gorgeous. But a lot of the brickwork had been probably kicked apart by the calves and tractors hitting it over the years. So there's patches of modern flattened bricks in there that were not level or anything. Someone just needed to hold the barn up. They weren't worried about what it looked like. So it's a lot of nitpicking and undoing.
Finally doing the building justice then.
Yeah, it's looking really good, and the client's happy, and it's just been a nice time with the lads working on it. There's three of us.
Absolutely.
And
I know who to call when I finally do find my land.
I'll be there. I'll be laying whatever you need, boy.
Likewise, dude, when you get your land and you need a labourer just for the day or a weekend, you know who to call.
Absolutely.
I'm not technically very good at it, but I can carry and lift.
No, I'm sure you'll be fine. You've got a good eye for lines, so
true.
And you know how to work wood, and yeah, I mean, that's the next chapter for us, I guess, in the next few years, both respectively, is that kind of journey. And it'd be good to do that together, you know.
Sure.
We've got a lot of good people around us with good skills, so I think we can make the journey a lot easier through the community.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. I mean, so many of the people that listen to this show have skills and things, and they're all so generous and sort of kind. So yeah, I can see lots of collaboration and helping out in future.
Yeah, and I mean, talking about skills quickly there, Tom, I mean, I know we've got to wrap up very shortly, but if I wanted to talk to you about your spoon carving courses, because let's finish off on something bushcrafty for our listeners. I know we've spoken a lot about what we've been doing, but this is bushcraft related, and I'll finish off with maybe a bit about my hide tanning.
Yeah, for sure. Like, because everything I've said so far has been sort of not bushcrafty for me. You've done the hunting, which is very bushcraft, but most of the stuff I've talked about so far has not been bushcraft. But yeah, I have managed to do two courses since I last talked to you. So I helped out on a Frontier course, Paul Kirtley's company, Frontier Bushcraft. So I still work for them. So I'm going to be doing the advanced intermediate course next year as an assistant. So that's going to be really fun. But I did one of their weekend courses I assisted on, and I actually was able to teach all the firelighting bits on that course to the clients, which was really cool that they trusted me to do that. So showed them how to use fire steels, collect birch bark, rub up the birch bark. We showed them on different tinders, showed them some other natural tinders they could use with a fire steel, showed them how to strike a match properly, flint and steel, how to collect a bird's nest, get an ember, different things you can use to collect that ember. So we talked about amadou, all that sort of stuff. Char cloth, showed them how to make char cloth. And then got them all lighting their own fires with flint and steel. And we also did the one match fire, which I didn't lead that one, but I did collect all of the materials for the one match fire.
I love that.
So if it went wrong, it would be on my head.
I'm sure it didn't. It's nice to see that.
Well, but that's yeah, well, I'm very, very proud that I was able to actually lead some of the afternoon lectures and deliver the firelighting bit of the course to the client. So that was really good. That was an achievement for me. It was sort of a step up from my normal role. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. And then a couple of weekends later, I ran my last spoon carving course of the year at Badgell's Wood campsite in Kent.
It was busy, wasn't it?
It was really busy, fully booked. So I had 6 people who came to learn spoon carving.
Well done, buddy.
Yeah, it was brilliant. So it was just me as the instructor, with 6 adults, all never carved before, except for Jack, who you might have seen on our Bushcraft Show video. He'd carved before. But he wanted just sort of a more structured approach. So when he approaches a piece of wood, he knows the sort of process from taking that piece of wood from a block of wood to a finished spoon. And he took his spoon home at the end of the day and he finished it up with sandpaper and sent me a picture. And what a beautiful spoon he'd made. And it just...
I actually saw it at the community camp, because he's got a little store, Bushbark. Check him out on Instagram. And he was just kind of just more of displaying like the bits he's been doing. And yeah, he's really proud of that and really flying your colour flag, I could say. Yeah, he spoke wonders of it.
But so did all the other people on there who hadn't carved before, and they all seemed to love it. And it was just a really lovely day. We had the fire going in the middle. We had lots of we had coffee on tap and bushcraft and spoon carving all day. And they learned so much, like, because some of them hadn't used hand tools before, like knives
or axes,
other than in the kitchen with knives. They'd not really touched sharp tools, and they did fantastically. So I was really chuffed.
I'm so glad. And you're doing a few more next year, aren't you? You're going to be getting a kind of timetable out sometime.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've still got to work out my dates. I've had quite a few people on Instagram message me about my spoon carving courses, and they are going to happen. But at the moment, I'm still working out like when am I away on school trips and things like that. So
We'll put out a little episode which gives some finer dates, won't we, as well?
Yeah, for sure. So we are looking for sort of May. Might do one in May. We might do one in the summer. But do stay tuned to Badgell's Woods Instagram and my Campfire Carvings and Back Garden Bushcraft Instagram for information on that. And I'm sure we will make an announcement on Woadsman when I have dates in the diary for next year.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, hopefully I'll be able to come and help you as well. So
I would absolutely love to have you there, because also it gives us a chance to record some episodes. It gives us a chance to cook up some lovely.
And if I can just be preparing stuff for you in advance, it takes a bit of weight off your back. You know, you don't have to tend to the fire and coffees and stuff like that.
But also, like, when I'm teaching, like, you could be carving as well, and then because I need to focus most of my attempt not on my carving but on what they're doing, so it would be quite good for you to be there modeling what I'm showing,
demonstrations.
So yeah, for sure. No, that would be brilliant if you can come along, dude, and it gets us time together.
Absolutely. I need my time with my thumb. You can hear us in the beginning there. We hadn't spoken like on a recording like this for ages, so we're very excited, weren't we?
Because we are like best mates, and I've already said to Liam, like, when me and Emma aren't setting a date yet, we're focusing on our land first and just wanted to be engaged. But when we do finally actually decide to get married, Liam will be one of the best men. So
you legend. Oh man, a shame you can't be the best man, because you are a best man. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just so glad that course went really well for you as well. It's what a nice feeling to have a fully booked one and just to finish off the year with.
Yeah,
and no, just before you went to your job and it kind of all worked in kind of, it was a busy, I remember you had like course engagement, school starting course, and it was just this,
it was
5 weeks of craziness.
It was, I had the course, and then it was like 2 days before I went to Dublin to get engaged, got engaged, started my job, had a first week in my new job, and then I was working with Frontier all that weekend.
Yeah, you were. And I thought, bloody hell, how is he going?
By the end of that, like, 3 week section, I was, like, dropping. I was out.
You had a good day's sleep, I bet.
I certainly did.
Yeah, well, I've also been just, flat out, and it's one reason why I'm really excited today to just get on with this hide tanning and making the sausages, just something back to basics. I've got a bit of editing done this week, so I don't feel too bad about not doing any today. And it's really good. I've got a nice fallow hide here, fallow doe, beautiful example of one, real nice black ridge down the back, going to the tail, the spots, lovely tan. It's just beautiful, and I want to do it justice. So I'm going to be releasing a video on the tanning process. It's been hard to film certain parts of it because it gets so dark here now. It's like 4 or 5 o'clock and it's pitch black. We're already back from work like 5 minutes and we're like, it's night time.
Yeah, well, I walk back in the dark now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's no fun. But I mean, it would be a good episode for those people who want to, you know, do what I do and kind of preserve that kind of little bit of your hunt or your wild game, even roadkill. It's a great way of resources.
I've tanned 2 rabbit hides.
You have, and it came out beautifully, didn't it?
Yeah, I didn't kill them myself. I was given them, but I tanned them myself. And
absolutely.
It was a great thing to do. And actually, that's something I am going to be doing soon. And I'll let you know in our next episode how this goes. But our year threes at the school are doing Stonehenge and the Stone Age.
Brilliant.
As their topic. So I'm going to be doing a Stone Age demo for them. So I'm going to bring in some flint knapping stuff. I'm going to bring in loads of hides for them all to sit on.
I need to send you the pressure flaker, don't I? I whipped you one up ages ago and I misplaced it and I found it. So I do need to say thank you for reminding me that time.
No, I appreciate it. But yeah, I'm also going to just show them a few different methods of how they would have lit fires. So I'll show them iron pyrite. So I need to get some of that. But I'm going to also do a hand drill demo and show that. And
Your last video, just quickly, your last video when you did the hand drill, beautiful video. Yeah. Really, really nice.
Joe Poshrat brought a set with him to the Bushcraft show, and that rekindled my love of the hand drill because I'd done it like loads years ago. And
some of your early content, just smashing out the hand drill.
Yeah, some of my earliest videos were me hand drilling, and I'd got a negative comment on one of them saying, well, you brought the set with you. And I'd sort of replied, well,
you kind of do make a set.
That is kind of how hand drill works. Like, if you look at the indigenous tribes in different places, they carry a set with them with their arrows. Like,
yeah, let's make one that might not work every time, Tom.
So that sort of put me off showing it in my videos. So I hadn't actually done hand drill since my intermediate course as a student. So a good couple of years. And I did one with Joe Poshra. I did one with Josh Firedwoods at the Bushcraft show.
Yeah, I was gutted to miss that one.
Yeah, and then I spent the rest of like the summer just getting my technique back, and I did a couple of videos in Cornwall while I was out hiking.
And I love that mini-series.
Yeah, it was great fun. Just, it was tiny little ornamental woodland, but I was able to make it my little playground. I did some bushcraft, did some cooking, and yeah, lots of hand drilling. So
that's what it's about, though, bushcraft to me. You know, being able to take those skills anywhere. It doesn't have to be. You don't have to be dropped off into the middle of the wilderness. If there's a little patch of trees, like you said, I remember when I was in Virginia for the first time over in America, went into Walmart, and bearing in mind I'm like a 11-year-old kid or something, maybe even younger, and I'd like bought a machete, and at this hotel I was staying at, which was a off-season all-girls university, it was like this big old, probably like 30 square foot patch of bamboo, so I'm getting right into the thick of it, like not even thinking that there's probably like copperheads and like redbacks in there.
I love that, bro.
And I'm just like hacking away at this like bamboo. Like, I'd had permission, like I could go in there and cut a few bits, just to test out the machete. But yeah, just a lot. That's what I love about it. You can take it anywhere.
Yeah, and it's like the same skills. They are transferable, and it's good to practice them in a safe.
The only time I've ever chopped bamboo with a machete. So
there you go. Exactly.
Got my practice in.
There you go. Exactly. I am going to be doing a little demo to the kids and get them to have a go. I'll show them like nettle cordage and all sorts of things, just a few primitive skills, just so they sort of get the idea. And it'll be stuff they've never seen before, because they're all from sort of just outside of London, so they won't have they're so young, they won't have had exposure to bushcraft or anything like that. So
no, it's going to maybe get Ellie to send you up some clay that you can show them some, you know, do some little pots with or something.
Yeah, it would be just a pleasure to be their first introduction to sort of primitive skills and bushcraft. So
well, Uncle Tom.
I risk assessed it this week, so I should get the go ahead this week from the school, hopefully that can happen. And
I'm glad you've got the creative freedom or creative space to do that kind of stuff, and it's nice that the next generation is getting that, because little things like that in my younger years really did motivate me, you know, when I went on trips to open farms and you know, caves and historical sites. It really does invigorate you as a child. Yeah. Okay? You know, you really do remember those for life.
Well, the school are really, really lovely. They're all, like, all the people that work there are such lovely people, and they're really about giving the children a proper rounded education. So anything like that, they've already asked me for advice on their outdoor classroom and developing that sort of stuff. So I'm sure in future I'll come up with lots of other ideas for sort of integrating outdoor learning into the curriculum. So,
well, I'm glad we can rest knowing that at least some of our children of the nation are in good hands as well.
I'm blushing, man.
Oh, it's been a pleasure talking to you though, dude.
Yeah, really. Dude, absolutely. Really lovely. And it's just nice to do an episode where we didn't have a topic. It's just... what this podcast was about at the beginning was recording me and Liam's conversations about what we've been up to in the outdoors. And like, whilst a lot of today hasn't necessarily been directly bushcraft, I think this podcast has given you an insight into who me and Liam are as people. And I think that actually part of our podcast sometimes will be about us and what we've been up to and how that links to our outdoor life.
Yeah, and hopefully it gives you guys some kind of food for thought about things that you might not have even entertained, you know, gives you something to look forward to with upcoming episodes that we're both going to be doing, little projects, Tom's courses next year, and just again to know that we are here, we're doing well, and can't wait to get back out by the fireside to record another podcast with you.
100%. Yeah, we can't even open a beer on recording today like normal, because it's
quite early, isn't it? Yeah, it's not quite late enough yet. I will be opening one later though, so I'll do it in your honour and in honour of all the listeners. So yeah, thank you all for listening again, I guess.
Yeah, stay safe, and we're not sure when the next episode will be out, but it will be out. So
more than likely by the fireside.
Hopefully, yes.
Yeah, you guys stay safe. Tom?
Look after yourselves and have a good time.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
Bye.
Ciao.